This podcast is brought to you by Local Silver Mint in Ware, New Hampshire. For the best selection of silver and gold, visit the Local Silver Mint showroom in tax-free New Hampshire today. Online at localsilvermint.com.
Sugar, spice, and everything nice. These were the ingredients chosen to create
The Grace Curley Show. Radio, TV, print, Grace Curley does it all.
She sings, she dances, she acts.
I'm waiting by the door for my Pulitzer.
She sounds hideous.
She's just the worst.
Yeah, she's a wacko.
She is the devil. I'm in hell.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
She still leaves me both breathless and speechless.
I love her.
She is the best.
Somebody will ask you to say Grace.
Grace Curley.
Grace!
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Big news day today. Graham Plattner coming out on top in Maine for now. For now. The general is very different from the primary. We are having more information. We're getting more information about how this all came to be. You know, the people who gave Graham Plattner his start. And I'm not talking about his mother with the restaurant at the luxury hotel or his father with a $200,000 loan for his home. I'm talking about the geniuses in the far left who thought, this is our guy. This is the guy who's going to be able to do it. And maybe they were right. Trump just commented on this, Taylor. What did he call Plattner?
Yeah, what's that thug that's up in Maine? He's a thug. Yeah. And they're trying to make excuses for him. I mean, he's worse than any human being that's ever run for office, probably. I don't know him. I don't want to say bad, but I just look. I mean, nobody's ever had a record like that. And you'll have Schumer. He goes crazy over this or that or Epstein. This guy. Why are they talking about him? He said, well, we don't know, but this guy's got a rap sheet. I've never seen anything like it. He's a thug. I know thugs. I had to deal with thugs. I built a lot of buildings. I dealt with the toughest people on earth. I dealt with worse than thugs. This guy's a thug. He's a low-level thug. And he's running to be a senator, to work with Eric Schmidt. Great, Eric will handle him, I think.
I think that's a good way to describe him, Taylor. I think thug is a perfect word. When I see pictures of him, especially the ones without his shirt on, I think I've seen more photos of this guy without his shirt on than with his shirt on, and I'm not happy about that. But I think thug is an appropriate word. There's also a new piece out in the Free Press. They interviewed Lindsay Fifield after her interview with the New York Times, where she said the New York Times gave a gift to the Plattner campaign. And something she told the Free Press, which I believe, is she said, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it's like the New York Times was trying to discourage other victims from coming forward or other accusers of coming forward, because they did such a hit job on her and they turned the entire internet against her and basically had all these liberal psychos like doxing her and calling her a liar and saying that she's just a political operative. So the purpose of that is so that if there's other people out there who are on the fence and they're looking at this and they're going, I don't want to get this kind of treatment. Why would I come forward against this guy? It seems like Mika and Joe and everybody else is running cover for him. So why would I want to defend him? The other thing that came out, or I'm sorry, why would I want to come forward with my accusations against him? The other thing that came out in the Free Press, which I found interesting, was that he had denied in the New York Times that he ever dated Lindsay Fifield. He's your typical gaslighting bad ex-boyfriend, where after everything goes down, after this woman has this incredibly toxic, damaging experience with this guy for years, then he turns around as the ultimate gaslighting move and goes, we weren't even dating. She wasn't even my girlfriend. It wasn't even serious like that. We weren't even exclusive. In other words, like, oh, yeah, she's just this desperate woman. Like, yeah, I went out with her a couple times, but she's, you know, convincing herself that we're some
sort of... And I said to myself, that's my kind of man.
She's trying to convince herself we're an item. We never were. I barely liked her. Well, the Free Press has a bunch of text messages where he's going back and forth with Lindsay Fifield saying that he's in love with her. So I don't know if that was just what he did with all his side pieces, with all his, you know, flings, if he was telling them that he was so in love with them in a way I can't even describe. I've been falling over myself for you as long as you'd have me. Maybe that's just what he sends to his casual dates. Maybe he sends that to the Kick people too. Maybe he's sending that to the people that he's, you know, exchanging lewd photos with on Kick. I don't know. These are the things we're going to learn in the next 6 months. And speaking of Kick, Byron York brought up a good point. He said, we still don't know anything about these people that he was exchanging messages with. His campaign admitted to six people, six women, we think. I don't know. That's also, I'm not 100% sure on after some of the recent comments that were revealed in that New York Times piece about the break-ins at his house. But he says six women. What do we know about these women? How old are these women? I'm hoping, and I have faith in the guys at the Main Wire and other places, that someone's going to dig this up. We're going to get more details on it. I also wanted to today to talk about Metcalf, Austin Metcalf, and this case where Carmelo Anthony was rightfully, I think this was the absolute, I mean, it's insane that he was even up for debate. He was convicted of first-degree murder, and the response, if you thought we had tribalism, if you thought we had racism during the O.J. Simpson trials, you have seen nothing yet when I show you some of these responses. But I wanted to actually start with a different story today, and this might surprise people, because you guys know I love national. I love to go national. But there's a story that just came across my desk that I need to get everyone's opinion on, okay? Ipswich High School forfeits lacrosse semifinal game.
Uh-oh, what kind of trans nonsense is this involved?
No, Taylor, that's why. Because that's one that, if it was something like that, I'd maybe save it, second story, third story. This is even stranger. They forfeit the lacrosse game after graduation cigar photo.
What?
It gets even crazier. Get ready. The cigars they used were fake. So these Ipswich high school boys,
good God,
they knew that they were not allowed from the Massachusetts Interscholastic Athletic Association, from here on out, I'm calling it the MIAA, so just if that's what you hear, that's what I'm referring to. They knew there were rules against athletes consuming tobacco. So because of that, they were like, okay, well, after graduation, you know, all the guys are going to be smoking cigars. That's a tradition. You know, everybody does that. My brothers did it when they graduated high school. The guys did it at my high school when they graduated. They said, okay, well, we want to be part of it, but we can't consume tobacco. So they called up a tobacco shop to learn how they could roll the cigars in a way that would look like they were really smoking cigars with everybody else. And they used, and I have the banana leaves, chamomile, stuff like that, and cigar wrappers. And this is one of the parents. So here's a quote from one of the parents. John, and if I am butchering his name, I apologize. Giannakakis said his son and a few of his teammates asked for him for his help to find a way to participate in the post-graduation cigar without violating the rules. I said, I can't get you real ones, but I just started rolling cigars. I can try to make some fake ones. If you guys just want to go down there and we can hang out, said Giannakakis. He contacted a local cigar shop for advice, gathered the supplies, and rolled makeshift cigars sealed with painter's tape. He told me that you can use banana leaves, you can use chamomile and stuff like that, and use cigar wrappers, said Giannakakis. They tried them. It was horrible. They burned fast. It was windy. It was dried paper and tea. A real cigar will last an hour to 2 hours, depending on the caliber. Those kids would have been sick as dogs if they smoked what they smoked in the pictures. Light a newspaper or paper towel on fire, and it would go whoosh. It's the same thing. They snapped a photo enjoying a post-graduation moment with the cigars. And Giannakakis said the school saw the photo and took action by stopping them from playing in their semifinal game against Cohasset Tuesday night. He quickly went to the school principal to explain his side and brought one of the makeshift cigars as proof. We found one. We put it in a baggie, like Mr. Mitchell asked. That's the school principal. And I brought it to him. I'm reading, by the way, from CBS News. I brought it to him. And I said, here it is. That's when I brought him more evidence, the receipt that I found from where I bought the stuff earlier before all this happened, and I guess that just wasn't enough. He said the high school principal, Jonathan Mitchell, even called the cigar shop to confirm that they called asking for fake cigars and how to make them. Mr. Mitchell looked me in the eye, sat me down, and said, John, these kids are cleared to play. So then the kids went to practice that day. He said the superintendent's office stepped in and asked for further investigation. By 10 a.m. Tuesday, the kids were told they couldn't play. And then the team had to forfeit because they didn't have enough players. What is happening? Why would this be the hill you'd want to die on? I have to imagine that there's some sort of miscommunication and that this isn't as absurd as I think it is. Because if you are opening up investigations into kids pretending to smoke cigars on their graduation day, then you don't realize how many bigger problems you could be dealing with. This is not a real issue. People do this all the time, Taylor. Taylor, I'm sure you smoked one when you graduated high school.
Not when I graduated. I wasn't 18 yet. I wanted to buy my own, so I waited until later that year.
Nerd.
Yeah, I was very buttoned up.
Yeah, you would have been in line for the chamomile tea leaves. Can I get me one of them, fellas?
No, I mean, why not just buy a prop cigar online?
They still would have got in trouble, I think. I think that whatever happened here, they were going to get in trouble no matter what. The idea that they were in the final four of this lacrosse thing, I don't know all the details on it, but that's what they described it as, the final four. And they had to forfeit the game over fake cigars?
That is awful. That's terrible.
It's like dweeb culture.
So, I mean, for this, you've got to... It is dweeb culture. But
it's like we're all ratting each other out. You know what this is? This is like a side effect. This is like the after effects of COVID. Everyone's turned into such hectoring, sanctimonious hall monitors. And we're all just like the no fun police. Oh, that looks like a little too much fun. I think I'm going to have to rat you out to the principal's office. Loserville.
I'd be interested to know what the root of that policy is. Was it for health reasons or was it for moralistic reasons? If it was for health reasons, this is a nonsense case. If it was for moralistic reasons, like you don't want your players being seen smoking because it's promoting whatever to kids, maybe that's one thing. But again, this wasn't real tobacco. It wasn't a real smoking session that they were having. This was just a prop to look cool.
Exactly.
And you know what?
This is like when I used to get the fake cigarettes from the ice cream truck when I was little. And I used to rip those butts.
Oh, yeah.
I used to have the candy cigarettes. I'd sit at the counter and I'd eat pretzels and I'd pretend that I was at like a bar. And I would just, I'd puff on that thing and I'd tell stories to myself. I had a whole situation going. Like
and you
look
badass doing it.
I did. 12 years old, ripping butts. I mean, I never felt cooler in my life. And so now if they had candy cigars, if that's even possible, would they have gotten kicked out for that?
So now what are these kids kicking themselves for? Being ejected from this game, having to forfeit it, or just not having the real cigar in the picture because the end result was the same?
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. And you know what?
But Massachusetts now, you got to be 21, not 18 to buy tobacco.
Really?
Yes.
Well, all the kids now are doing Zyn. Those like pouches, you know? That's what.
Yes, I know. I have a pack sitting right next to me.
Oh, you do? Okay, so you know the Zyn's the popular thing. I can't believe this story. Something's gonna come from this. This is gonna pick up, Taylor. Mark my words. And you know what it is the parents are on their side. The parents of these kids are pissed off for the kids, which I would be too. If my son was 18 or even 17, whatever, smoking a cigar, are we really going to be this lame where it's like, well, it's the rules. Well, let it go. They were smoking a cigar and they're in the final four and now you had to forfeit. And for what? For what? I'm not on board with this. 844-500-4242. Maybe someone out there, though, knows more details. Maybe this is a story where we need some inside sources. If you know anything, if you're in the Ipswich area and you know more about this, and I'm missing a part of this story, I'm happy to have you deliver the missing link. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. We'll play the rest of that Trump cut as well when we come back. Stay with us.
Hump day!
The Grace Curley Show will return. This is the Grace Curley Show.
I think it's another one, if you look. I actually think the one in Maine is worse, because he's just an outright pig. He's like a pig. I watched him a couple of times. He's like a pig. That's what he reminds me of. You know, I come up with good names for people. I don't want to stick him with that one, although I think pigs would be very upset about it. Go
ahead. I agree. I think pig. What do you like better, Taylor? Pig or thug?
I think pig better describes the behavior.
What about thug pig?
Thug pig. Thug pig Plattner. That's what they used to call him in high school.
Thug pig Plattner. You know, I'm not going to try to give him a nickname because that really is Trump's job. Yeah, I know Trump has a lot of different jobs. I know he gives a lot of them to Marco Rubio, but one of them he cannot give away is the nicknamer in chief. I mean, he's going to figure out something for Graham Plattner. Now, here's something that's pretty interesting, though. There's an interview in the Wall Street Journal of these two ex-Bernie political operatives who were part of the machine that helped pick out Plattner and kind of help his star rise in the Democrat Party. Listen to a cut. They're being interviewed. They're being asked about the vetting process here. Like, how did you find this diamond in the rough, the thug pig Plattner? This is cut six.
You hadn't vetted Graham Plattner. You hadn't done a full scrub of who he is. How did you go about vetting him? And why did you?
We paid a nice firm a whole chunk of money and got some stuff back, some of what you've seen on the news we got back, other stuff we didn't.
Did the vetting process turn up the tattoo that became so controversial?
No.
The Reddit posts, did that turn up in the vetting process?
The firm sent us a thing, and it had some of the posts,
yeah,
but it didn't have all of them.
And what did you think about that? How did you think your way through the fact that he had posted these things on social media?
I said none of this will or should stop him from becoming a U.S. senator.
Now, the obvious thing I got to point out here, Taylor, is the voice is painful to listen to.
It's even worse in the second half of that cut.
It's very Zuckerberg-esque. Just so out of touch. And they found this guy, and they knew most of this. Like, that's the craziest part of this Plattner thing, is just how much people knew going into this. And they still said, we like him. He's got something. He's our dude. He's our guy. And as I mentioned before, in the Free Press, they kind of gave Lindsay Fifield a second go at this. They tried to tell the story that the New York Times didn't want to tell. And they also interviewed, because the reason Fifield gets pushed aside by a lot of people as not a reliable source is that she worked for Republican organizations. You know, she's a Republican operative. And that never was a problem when it was Democrat accusers accusing Brett Kavanaugh. Then it was like, you know, has nothing to do with it. Politics is left out. But with Lindsay Fifield, who seems to be a pretty reliable source as far as I can see, she got a lot of people who say she's a solid person. You can no longer take her word for it. But they also interview this other lady, Jenny Rosico, who's a lifelong Democrat, who casually dated Plattner between 2019 and 2021 and found his behavior unsettling, including arriving at her house drunk. We'll talk more about it on the other side.
The Grace Curley Show is on the air.
Now, interestingly, President Trump told me that he is getting close to ordering new strikes against Iranian power plants and bridges, because He says the Iranians are tapping the United States along when it comes to the negotiating process. He says the bully of the Middle East is dead. And he told me I may keep going when I asked him about a possible response to the Iranian missile fire that targeted U.S. forces in Kuwait, Bahrain, and Jordan overnight. The president said they had a chance to sign a deal and survive, indicating again that he may order new strikes against the Iranian regime in response to their dragging their feet at the negotiating table.
Yeah, let's hope. Let's hope he doesn't stop. Let's hope that this is the... I hope this is the resuming of some serious action here, because we've been holding off on it because of these talks, these negotiations that are going, look like they're going nowhere. And so I know it's proportional attacks. I know the Apache helicopters were shot down. This is also in response to Iran, who was responding, I guess, to Israel, who was responding to Hezbollah. So I know that right now these are proportional strikes. But, you know, Jack Keane said a couple weeks ago, he thinks 2 weeks, it could be more now because they've probably built things back up, but 2 weeks is what it would take to really get in there and finish this job. And so I don't understand what waiting does. I don't understand what creating more and more time in between is doing, except for giving Iran and the hardliners in this regime, which is most of the people in the regime, a chance to catch back up, which I'm not on board for. I wanted to talk a little bit here. You know, we just talked about Ipswich. I want to stay in Massachusetts for a minute because our poll question has to do with Maura Healey. And it had to do with Maura Healey yesterday. Yesterday, the governor announced that they were going to, during the World Cup, they were going to keep the bars open until 3 a.m. And they keep talking about this. She was on WEEI, very proud of this fact. They're keeping the bars open. You know, this is her way of relating to the young, cool kids. We're keeping the bars open. We're partying just like you. And then she was asked by Greg Hill about happy hour, which, if you live in Massachusetts, you know, we don't have happy hour here. It's outlawed. Well, today's poll question is brought to you by Lean. Everybody's talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. So what if you're looking to lose weight, but you're not interested in painful weekly injections and possible intense side effects? That's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean, and the results are remarkable. Get started with 20% off when you enter Grace at TakeLean.com. That's code Grace at TakeLean.com. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at GraceCurlyShow.com, is will Governor Maura Healey bring back happy hour in Massachusetts?
No. No, she will not.
71% say no.
This is an easy one that when you get asked about it, you go, yeah, I think we should look into that. And then they never actually look into it. Take a listen to cut one. This is Maura Healey on with WEEI.
What about happy hour? Can you ever see happy hour coming back?
Yeah, I am. You know, I personally support happy hour. You know, that said, you know, it's, again, it's like a local option, you know. But, I, you know, for me, it's especially like I really want 20-somethings, you know, 18 to 35-year-olds staying in Boston, staying in Massachusetts. And it's really important that we create spaces for them to hang out. And socialize and be, and, you know, different forms of entertainment. And, you know, that's one thing. There are other things you can do to create that, but, you know, I want to build a better vibe for, you know, young people here in the state and young people who want to come here and stay here, hopefully.
A better vibe. She wants to build a better vibe. I have so many, listen, if they brought happy hour back, I wouldn't be opposed to it. But I have so many other things that I think could contribute to a better vibe.
The vibes are incredible.
The vibes are immaculate. And I am technically, Taylor, not for long, but I'm technically still in that bracket of people that she's trying to keep here or entice to come here or whatever. I'm 34. She said 18 to 35. So I'm just making it under that
bumping
ceiling.
Against the ceiling too, yeah.
And I would say that there are several other things that would make me happy. Like, I know she thinks we're all just boozing it up. Like, 18 to 35, that's all we care about is a deal at 5 o'clock to get a drink. I wouldn't be opposed, like I said. But here are some things that actually matter more to me. If you want to keep the vibes here good, is make life here a little bit more affordable, suspend the gas tax, support the audit. And I don't mean support it like you're doing on WEEI, mention, oh, yeah, you know, I'm a fan of it personally, and, you know, I think it's a good idea. Put your money where your mouth is. She was asked by Tim Dunn from the Boston Herald about this, and I want you to listen carefully to her response. This is about the audit that Diana DeSoglio had a mandate to conduct. 73% of voters in Massachusetts said, we want to open the books. We want to know what the state legislature is spending our money on. And she's been stonewalled every step of the way. And this is Mara Healey wading into that issue. This is Cut 3.
Do you support the House and Senate bills?
Oh, I've been clear about the audit. I support the audit. I think it should happen. I voted for the audit. And I also
But these bills are really clear about it. What about these bills?
Thanks,
these
guys.
Bills specifically?
Yeah, why don't you tell us about the Senate or House bills regarding the audit? Instead of just saying, yeah, I support it. Well, tell us how you support it. Tell us how you plan on moving this along. Because right now it looks like it's dead on arrival. And I'm not very happy about that. And I don't think other people in Massachusetts are very happy about it. She was also asked about what we talked about yesterday regarding keeping these bars open until 3 a.m. A lot of people on the Instagram comment said, not a good idea. You know, we've got a lot of drunk driving issues in this state. A lot of them recently have involved people dying, you know, people driving the wrong way on the highway. And so with all that going on, the great idea from Mayor Wu and Governor Mora Healey to appeal to young people or to appeal and make themselves seem more palatable to the masses is let's keep the bars open till 3 a.m. What could possibly go wrong? This is Cut 2.
Yesterday you signed the bill into law that would allow drinking till 3 a.m. during the World Cup. Any concerns about wrong way driving, drunk driving, that kind of thing, especially by potentially another illegal immigrant? This just happened a couple of weeks ago, or injured a trooper. Any concerns about that?
You know, I'm glad with World Cup we have this opportunity to try this out. 3 a.m. I mean, there's been a lot of demand for it. We've got games going on, you know, all over and around the clock, and I think this will be a nice opportunity. Bars and restaurants aren't forced to stay open, but if they want to stay open, I think there'll be a lot of demand. We've got a lot of people coming in. We've got a lot of people, you know, ready to take advantage of this. So I think that's a good thing. And obviously, public safety is top of mind, top priority with this whole World Cup experience. And I think people have been really working hard to do that.
This whole idea of, like, there's a lot of demand for things and that's why you're doing it doesn't move me in one direction or the other. Like, there was a lot of demand during COVID from business owners to let us open up our businesses. And that didn't seem to move the needle for any of the politicians. I know then it was Baker, but still. Now all of a sudden, oh, there's demand for it, so that means it's a good idea. You're supposed to explain to us why you think this is a good idea. You're supposed to explain to us why all of our worries or concerns about this you've thought about and you've come to some sort of conclusion that the pros outweigh the cons. You don't just say, oh, yeah, there's a lot of demand for it and I'm excited about it and public safety is top of mind. How is public safety top of mind? Let's get a little specific here, Governor. Give us some specifics as to why we shouldn't be worried. Now, another big story that I wanted to get to today, because I was disgusted by what I was seeing yesterday after Carmelo Anthony, and a lot of you have followed this story closely, was found guilty of first-degree murder for the death of Austin Metcalf. He was the high school athlete. This was at the track event, and he stabbed him. He went into the tent where Austin Metcalf and his teammates were, and he pulled out a knife and stabbed him. He was sentenced. He was slapped with a 35-year sentence yesterday. This was in Texas. It was in a Texas courtroom, and I think the actual the field meet took place in Frisco, and this was April of last year. And the verdict comes out. The sentencing comes out. This is the most clear-cut case of murder that I've seen in a while. This is like, the only thing I could liken it to, Taylor, is like Luigi Mangione. There's so much evidence suggesting that this kid did exactly what he's accused of doing. And yet, you would think that this was a giant miscarriage of justice if you were to watch the videos of people outside the courthouse melting down over Carmelo Anthony being rightly found guilty of first-degree murder. Let's have, I want to have Lawrence Jones. He's been following this. He's from Texas. He's been following this case really closely. And he was on Fox reading Austin Metcalf's father's victim impact statement. Take a listen to Cut 8.
Now, following the sentence, Metcalf's father delivered an emotional statement to Anthony. We were robbed. This was never about race. It is about right and wrong. My son's death destroyed the person I used to be. He does not exist anymore. You're going to prison. I forgave you the day it happened. I don't forgive you. Don't forgive what you did. You can't look at me in the eyes, but you can stab my effing son.
Yeah, and other people were pointing out that Carmelo Anthony didn't have a lot of emotion until he found out his own punishment. Like, the fact that he killed this young kid for really no reason, it seems like, and or no reason you could ever justify. Not that there's ever, you know, justification. That didn't bring him to tears. You know, his guilt, his shame over doing this didn't bring him to tears. It was when he found out he was going to be held accountable. It was when he found out there was actually going to be justice and he was going to be able to just walk. Now, listen to some of the supporters outside the courthouse. Really sickening stuff. This is Cut 12. Let me hear this supporter.
Where are your white people at? If you love Austin, you would be here. But because you don't care. His body than a mother. Where's Austin's body? No! Hunter! Y'all don't love Austin! You don't care about Hunter! Because if you did, you would really stand in solidarity, not online, but right here! So I gotta speak for your white baby! I'll do it! I'll conjure that baby.
Okay, pause there, because I also want to get to, it's just a lot of mentally unstable people, first of all, not to give them that excuse, but there's a lot of people out there who are clearly insane, and they're also racist, and they also think that Carmelo Anthony should have walked because he's black, and the person he stabbed and murdered was white, and so that should be enough for him to get out of jail free. Now, I want to play this cut, because this is one of the more popular refrains we're hearing online, at least, or, you know, we're witnessing, which is, what are black children supposed to think that Carmelo Anthony has been given this verdict where he's going to be in prison for 35 years? Take a listen to this Carmelo Anthony supporter. This is Cut 11.
What do you want us to do? That's right. What do you want us to do at this point? What? I'm lost for words. I don't know what to do. I got five boys. I don't know what. I ain't got nothing to tell them no more. You can't walk away no more.
Rest in peace, Trayvon Martin.
This is almost like a parody. That this is really happening outside this courthouse.
Maybe tell your kids not to stab people.
Nation, this is Babylon B. Nation shocked as jury rules you cannot stab someone in the heart for no reason at all. Matt Walsh put out, this is so devastating. Imagine being a black parent tonight. How do you protect your children? If they go out and stab just one person, they might go to prison. It's like a black man in America can't even murder anyone anymore. Unimaginable. Jim Crow all over again. I'm furious. This really is, and when I have more cuts for you from Jasmine Crockett, from other serious people who are commenting on this and taking up the side of Carmelo Anthony just because he's black, which I thought was racist. I thought that, you know, just deciding that one side is right because of their race was racist, but apparently not. And I just want to point out that something that kind of hits me with a lot of these stories that we talk about on the show is it's not just that people will commit such heinous, senseless, violent crimes against other people, which is always a hard thing to understand or to fathom. But now it's that the world will cheer it on. Like, I think of Charlie Kirk. I think of After October 7th. I think of Mangione. We see evil happen, and then we witness the defense of that evil or the celebration of that evil, or people who are so callous and so heartless and so evil themselves that they're standing there defending it. And it's really disturbing. And I don't know if it always existed and we just see it more now because of social media. But man, to think about this dad whose son is dead, his son was at a track meet, and now he's never coming back. And the sympathy heard around the country is for the kid who stabbed his son. Make that make sense. Everybody's talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. They work by lowering blood sugar and reducing appetite. So what if you're looking to lose weight, but you're not interested in painful weekly injections, especially when you hear about some of those intense side effects? Well, that's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean. Taylor, Lean has been shown to lower blood sugar. It burns fat by converting it into energy, and it curbs your appetite so you're not as hungry. Have you found that to be the case?
Absolutely. So I started taking my Lean again this morning and was immediately, not immediately, but I've noticed the difference throughout the day. I'm not looking for things to forage on or graze upon in the office. I'm not looking for any snacks in the fridge or just lying around. Just had my lunch, and that was it. Sensible chicken and rice. I'm going to have dinner later on tonight, some steak, and that'll be it. I'm not interested in snacking. I'm much more focused on what I'm eating and what I'm not eating, and it just keeps you on track. It's a natural supplement. You take three capsules right after breakfast, and you're set for the day. You forget about wanting to snack. It really does curb those, not cravings for food, but cravings for food in between food. So you're not suppressing your appetite so much as just zoning in on what you should be eating and neglecting what you shouldn't be eating. So I recommend it to anybody that wants to lose a serious amount of weight, like 10, 15, 20, even 30 pounds. I hope to reach that benchmark sometime in the near future, but Lean is definitely having me well on my way.
So let's get you started with 20% off and free rush shipping so you can add Lean to your healthy diet and exercise plan. Visit TakeLean.com and enter Grace for your discount. That's promo code Grace at TakeLean.com. We'll be right back.
This makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle.
Follow Grace on X at G_Curly. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Dave Portnoy just posted about the cigars. I thought this was fake when I first saw it. Now the parents are saying they were fake cigars. That's obviously a lie, but how stupid is this? School administration and MIAA continue to be the most brain-dead humans on the planet. Imagine getting suspended for smoking a cigar at graduation. Insane. I didn't think the parents were lying, but maybe I'm just gullible. Maybe I'm just naive. Like, I just think that's an elaborate lie to put something in a baggie and bring it to the school. Either way, though, I agree that it's ludicrous these kids weren't able to play in the final four of their lacrosse tournament. I wanted to play this cut, Taylor, from Jasmine Crockett responding to the Carmelo Anthony verdict. This is cut 9.
Black women, especially black women who have black male children, live in fear and agony every single day. A fear and agony that I promise you, the Metcalfs probably never spent a day living that way.
Right. The people, the family whose son was murdered for attending a track meet are the ones who need to have more understanding and empathy for their son's murderer. Do I have that right? The Metcalf family, who are grieving the loss of their son, the murder of their son, they're the ones who don't understand how hard it is for Carmelo Anthony and his family and black people writ large. What a take from Jasmine Crockett, rising star in the Democrat Party. You'd have to work really hard to be that evil, to say that with a straight face. We'll be right back.